I want to share with you this morning a story that I found many years ago, originally written by a man named Clark Cowden, a minister in Walled Lake, Michigan. And like any story that you might pick up, this begins once upon a time. Once upon a time, there was a man named Jerry. Jerry was a builder. He had started off as a carpenter, but he learned really to build homes and construct small office buildings. And he lived in a small but a growing town on the edge of a very big city, so there was always lots of work to be done. And over the years, he gained a reputation as best in his field. He was honest. He was hardworking. He didn't rip anybody off. And he did a very high-quality job. So over the years, Jerry made a lot of money in his business. And he was able to purchase 10 acres of land. And on these 10 acres of land, he built a mansion of a house for himself and for his six kids. People used to drive by just to take a look at this fabulous house that was built by Jerry. Jerry taught all his children to be builders as well. And they all followed in his footsteps. And eventually they all took over the very thriving family business. Jerry actually built homes for all six of his kids because he loved them so much. But as it is, he got older, and at the age of 70, Jerry started to slow down a little bit. And he, at that time, had six children and 12 grandchildren and six great-grandchildren. And the mansion was too much for him to keep up by himself. His wife was gone. And Jerry had always dreamed of retiring someday up north in the woods, someplace that would be really close to nature. So he found a little house that he could keep up with and by himself. It was 1,000 miles north. He loved his family so much, but he felt they really needed to be on their own without him always telling them what to do. And so with tears in his eyes, one day Jerry moved away. But each week, without fail, he would write to a different child or to a different grandchild, and sadly, he never heard back from any of them. Well, he just assumed that business, as it always had been, was still booming, and they were just too busy to write. And after 6 months passed and not hearing from them, he wrote a letter. Simply said, "Just let me know when you want me to come visit, because I would love to see all of you again." But he never heard back. So then he began to think, "I know they're busy, but perhaps they really don't want me around anymore. Maybe they prefer life without me." And he didn't want to force himself upon his children, or his grandchildren, or his great-grandchildren, so he just stayed away. But his love for his family never changed. 5 years passed, and then one day, he finally got a letter in the mail. And it was an invitation to an annual family Christmas reunion, and it simply said, "December 24th, 7 o'clock sharp." He was so excited. He loved his family so much, and now he was invited back to his own home again, and he just couldn't wait for it to happen. So over the next 2 weeks, he spent them buying up as many Christmas presents as he thought he could fit into the little car that he had. And buying for 30 people is no small task. Some of you may know that. But he didn't want to leave anybody out. So finally, he got in his car and he began this 1,000-mile trip. And it took him 2 full days of driving in order to arrive home. And then he drove up to that big mansion. It was still in the family. That's where the party was. That's where he used to live. And he saw all the cars in the driveway. And he knew with the lights on in the house that it was all worth the effort and the trip. He almost started to cry. when he walked up to the front door and he knocked ever so politely. One of his sons came to the door. And when he opened the door, he said, "My son," and he threw his arms around him, and the son pulled him back away from him. And he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm your father. Don't you recognize me?" The son stepped back again and looked, and he said, "My father left here 5 years ago, and we haven't heard from him since. Who are you?" "I'm your father. Don't you even recognize your own father and what he looks like?" Son says, "I don't recognize you. And I didn't invite you to come, so I think you should leave." Well, Jerry took a step back and he was speechless. He didn't know what he could say. I mean, as he looked behind the door, he could see in the entryway of his house it was full of people and they were all staring at him. He was like a stranger in his own home. And so he said again, "But I'm your father. I wrote you all those letters. For 5 years, I've written to every one of you. Didn't you get them?" Another son in the back of the hallway said, "We never got any letters from our father. But every year, imposters have stopped by, claiming to be our father, trying to get some of our money, and I think you're just another imposter, and you should leave." Well, just then, out of the crowd in the hallway came the 5 and the 7 and the 9-year-old great-grandchildren, and they all rushed to the entryway, and they were shouting, "It's great-grandpa! It's great-grandpa! You came! You came!" His eyes were filled with tears as they all jumped into his arms and grabbed his legs. How good it felt to be welcomed. But just as quickly as they jumped into his arms, their parents came out and pulled them away. "He's not great-grandpa. Great-grandpa doesn't exist anymore. He's an imposter." Sadly, Jerry just looked again, speechless. And he stepped back to the door, and as he was turning to walk away, he looked back at them and he said, "My own family, my own home, and I'm not welcome." One said, "This is not your family. This is not your home." But he said, "I just drove 1,000 miles over 2 days to share my love with you. And I have a whole car full of gifts for you. Don't you want them?" And all the little great-grandchildren began to rush towards the door. And they were all with smiles saying, "Yes, yes, yes." And their parents were pulling them back with a scowl and saying, "No, no, no. If we accept his gifts, then we will owe him something. And we'll be indebted to him. And he will want something from us." But Jerry said, I only want to give to you. I only want to enjoy your presence." Nobody said anything. Jerry looked around in hopes that somebody would recognize him. But no one said anything. So he turned around and he walked out to his car. And as he got there, he said to himself, "How can this be? I don't understand what has happened to me. What has happened to them? How can I leave? I love these people. I can't leave. I have to stay. I have to get them to love me." And he looked up from the roof of his car to the sky. And he said, "Lord, how? How can I get my own family to receive me?" But there was silence. As he opened the door and he looked down to the floor of his car, he saw his Bible there. It was laying there on the seat. He faithfully read it every day. And he picked it up. And he opened it over to the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter, and he began to read the Christmas story. He had been reading that. And he read it again. This time the words just seemed to jump off the page. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered. Everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be registered. Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. He hung on that. There was no room for them in the end. And as you read it over and over again, he says, it doesn't say there was no room in the end. It says there was no room for them in the end. And he closed his Bible and he looked up again to the sky and he said, but God, I have it worse than Mary and Joseph. They're not welcomed by strangers, but I'm not welcomed in my own home by my own family. Whatever reason, he reached down and grabbed his Bible again, and this time it opened. It opened itself to the first chapter of John. And again, the words seemed to leap off the page when he read, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He thought as he read that, he said, how many times have I read that? I've never realized what it said. Here in verse 11 it says, this is my own children. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. My own children don't want me in my own house. House I built with my own hands, on the land I purchased with my own money. He thought, this is what Jesus must have gone through. I wonder how many other people in the world are not welcome in their own homes at Christmas time. They're experiencing what Jesus did, he thought. He said, but look at verse 10. That describes my grandchildren. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And verse 5 says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He said, I think that's my grandchildren. They didn't really reject me. They just didn't recognize me. They didn't seem to understand. They're not angry like my children were, but they were just confused. How many people in the world are confused about Jesus this Christmas time? They don't understand. Maybe nobody's ever told them. And then he smiled and he looked down at the Bible again. He said, verse 12. That's my great-grandchildren. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. My great-grandchildren, they may only be 5 or 7 or 9 years old, but they're the wisest people in that house. As soon as they saw me, they recognized me. They knew the sound of my voice. They somehow knew what I would be like, and they are my true children. They want my gifts. They want my love. They're trusting, and they're open. Just like all those who have received Jesus into their hearts and into their homes and into their lives. As he pondered all of these, he says, maybe I've got it all wrong all these years. Maybe Jesus is just like a Christmas gift. God wraps him up, puts a name on the box, and he leaves him under our tree. It's already ours. It's there. But it's not really ours. Because the gift of Jesus doesn't do us any good until we receive it and open it and enjoy it to its fullest. The good news of Christ is only good if you receive him. Jerry couldn't leave. That night he slept in his car, out in the driveway, surrounded by snow. And sure enough, the next morning, it was Christmas morning, and he wanted to give his gifts to his children. And as usual, the youngest ones always wake up first. And they thought they were quietly, sneaking down the stairs and looked at the tree and all the presents under it, and they were all excited. And then one of them looked out the window, and they saw this old man sleeping in the car out there in the driveway. And the 9-year-old said, I know that's my great-grandpa. And I'm going to go out and wish him a Merry Christmas. So all the great-grandchildren quietly put on their boots and hats and gloves and coats, and they walked out in the snow to the car. It was about an hour later. Parents were awakened by the sound of laughter, and they looked out their windows, and there was this old man giving his entire carload of gifts to these children, and paper was strewn all over the yard, and they were building a snowman, and they were laughing and singing and playing, and the children had never been happier. Well, the parents threw on their clothes, and they rushed outside and told the old man, you really ought to go now. The children all cried, why? Why? Why does great-grandpa have to go? And they said, he's not your great-grandpa, and he must leave now. Funny thing, old Jerry was not angry. He wasn't upset. He was sad, but not angry. He gathered up all the little children around him and he whispered into him, you have given me the best Christmas that I have ever had in my whole life. Nothing and nobody can ever take that away from me. And don't let anyone take it away from you. You need to learn not to let other people spoil your Christmas, he said. They don't believe in me. But you know the truth. You are my believers, and I'm going to go away, but only for a while. And one day I'm going to return for you. And I want you to be ready, because when I come back, the gifts that I bring for you and for anyone else who believes in me will be so wonderful, I can't even begin to describe them. Remember the joy that you feel right now. Remember the love we share. I'll return for you, for your joy, for your love. And together it will be 10 times greater than it is today. Let's hear those words again from John 1. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you catch that? And the Word became flesh. Takes us back to that story in Luke 2, doesn't it? Beginning in verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." What a story to tell. What a story to hear. What a story to grow from. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you recognize your Lord? Do you love him? Have you invited him into your heart, into your life, into your home, into your family? If you haven't, friends, then you've missed out on the greatest gift of all. In John 10:10, it's a short but important part of the verse that says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Don't let Christmas Day be the only thought that you have of Jesus. Those who know him, those who've accepted him into their life and family, enjoy the abundant life every day. Every day. Read an article yesterday. It was posted on Fox News. It didn't surprise me, but it deeply saddens me. The article goes like this. As recently as 30 years ago, 67% of Americans attended and supported a local church. The most recent, that was a 2013 poll by the Pew Research Center, reported that just 37% of Americans attended church weekly. Gallup's estimate came in at 39% in 2013. The article says this reduction in attendance stayed on the trend, with declining attendance reported as religious services from 2007 to 2014. The decline is down. It says now about one-third of Americans say they worship weekly, and two-thirds say they rarely or ever attend a service. The article surmises the decline is real. Northern states see it more than southern states. Then it goes on and breaks down other research by the Barna Group, which says they place people in three groups: the churchgoers, the unchurched, and the dechurched. It reports that 38% of Americans are churchgoers. They have attended a church service once a week. 43% are unchurched, meaning they have not attended a church service in the last 6 months, except maybe a wedding or a funeral. And finally, they report that 34% are dechurched people. People who used to attend church regularly and now haven't been in a church service in the last 6 months. Except maybe a wedding or a funeral. What does that say? To me, it says pray for our country. Because most of our fellow Americans surely won't. Because they don't know Him. And now they don't want to know Him. You can drive around like I have. And the stores and the malls are full of people who have taken a little bit out of their busy life to take a break for a week and go out and buy beautiful gifts that they can give to those they love. Yet they have no room, apparently, for the one who really loves them, the one who wants to be invited into their hearts and into their homes. A final thought. Over in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, verse 20, is just a very startling verse that says this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. My friends, there will be a lot of stories told this week, and I wish you all the joy and merriment that you can have about your tree and with your family as we celebrate Christmas this Wednesday. But there's no greater gift that can be told than to tell the story that you know Christ. And that as he knocked, you opened the door and you let him in. As we close this morning, we're going to sing a song of invitation, and Christ invites you to come to him through faith. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins and change the direction of your heart, which will change the direction of your actions? Are you willing to walk down this aisle and confess before us and before God that faith that you say you have? Are you willing to be immersed in the watery grave of baptism to wash away your sins? To rise and receive the gift, not only the gift of the Holy Ghost, but the gift of the blessings, he says, of a more abundant life every day. Isn't that a present worth opening? Come if you will. We stand and sing.